evening. We appreciate the presence of everyone, particularly those who are visiting with us. We're glad that you've come to be with us. Among the visitors, Ronnie and Anise Milliner are visiting with us. I've known them for about 35 years or so. Her dad was one of the elders at Manslick Road in Louisville when I was preaching there. And we go back a long ways. I stayed with them a couple of times, once moderated for Ronnie in a debate that he had with a Baptist preacher several years ago. And then more recently, 5 or 6 years ago, up here at Owensboro, stayed with them in a meeting. Good to have them with us. And other visitors, we're glad that you've come to be with us as well. I encourage you to get your Bible and turn to the book of Deuteronomy. We'll get to that book here in just a few moments. Before we turn to that, we want to say several things by way of introduction before we turn to any actual passages in the book of Deuteronomy. Since our infancy, we have been told to be careful. Our parents, when we were old enough just to begin to understand some things, they would tell us, be careful. When we were learning to walk, they'd say, be careful, don't fall. Be careful. And every kind of warning, from talking to strangers to when we began to drive, we were told to be very careful. Don't talk to strangers, be very careful. Watch your other cars, be careful in your driving. We've been told to be careful time and again. But quite often, as youngsters and even as adults, we push back against those kind of warnings, thinking perhaps that there's no need to worry, I'm okay, I know what I'm doing. Or maybe we think there's no danger at all in what our parents seem to think was dangerous or others thought were dangerous. And we even as adults sometimes ridicule those who are quite conscientious and meticulous about trying to do what they think to be right, and ridicule them and make fun of them, and as to suggest we don't need to be all that careful. Well, the Bible gives abundant warnings about watching. Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 26. Paul gave the similar warning, 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 6, we ought to be watchful, we ought to be careful. But the book of Deuteronomy, to which you have turned, more than any other books, uses this expression, be careful. Not too long ago, we were working through the book of Deuteronomy in our Wednesday night Bible classes, and at least in the class where I was teaching, we talked about, watch for this word careful, and underline that word careful every time you see that. There were some 18 times where the word careful is used, and carefully is used some 8 times. Filled with a number of warnings about being careful, be careful in all that we do. So I want to talk tonight about being careful Christians. We need to be careful Christians. Are you a careful Christian? Are you a Christian that you would say in living your Christian life, you seek to be very careful in every aspect of your life? You're very meticulous about doing what you know you ought to be doing. Are you a careful Christian? Let's talk about a careful understanding. That is, we need to understand what it means to be careful. Let's define our concept of being careful. If we don't understand that, then we don't know if we're careful or not. We'll come back to some application and passages in a moment, but let's begin to define. The word that is used here in the book of Deuteronomy that we're going to get to, that is translated careful, Strong simply says, and I'm not going to read every word of these definitions, but he suggests that what the word means is, it means to hedge about as with thorns, to guard or carefully protect or to attend. So something that is carefully guarded and protected is the concept of this word that is translated careful. The King James translates that same word as beware, to be circumspect, to take heed, to mark, to look narrowly, etc., those kinds of words. That's the idea of what's involved in being careful. But let's go a little further. Brown, Driver, and Briggs says it means to keep, to guard, to observe, to give, to keep within bounds, to restrain, to be on one's guard, to take heed, to take care, to do something. Are you beginning to get the idea? We're going to give some summary of that in just a moment. W.E. Vine suggests that it means to keep in the sense of tending or taking care of. God put Adam in the garden to tend the garden or to keep it. It's that same idea. In 2 Kings 22:14, one was said to be the keeper of the wardrobe. Even Satan was said to keep Job's life and save his life. It's the same idea of guard and protected so that you don't destroy his life completely. In the same sense, God is described as being the keeper of Israel. We talked about that in a recent study of Psalms in Psalm 121 and in verse 4. Vine goes on to say that the word means to keep in the sense of watching over, giving attention to. It is the idea that when used in close connection with another verb, it gives the idea of watching carefully the action that you're involved in. It signifies the watchman taking full responsibility. You're watching carefully about what you're doing. You're taking full responsibility in all that you're seeking to do. Now let's talk about the English word careful. It means to be cautious in one's action, as in be careful when you cross the street. If I suggest to you as you cross the street to be careful, it is suggesting that you be cautious in your action. Well, furthermore, it means to take pains in one's work, to be exact as a careful typist. If someone was doing typing for you and keyboarding for you, you'd want them to be a very careful keyboard person or a typist. It gives the idea of doing the performance with accuracy and with caution, as careful research, in contrast to careless research. You are attentive to potential dangers. This is all from dictionary.com, as in careful in crossing a busy street. Thorough and painstaking in an action, being careful in your research, etc., as in careful art restores. Let's look at some synonyms to the word. We might think of being careful as being accurate, or maybe being alert, or being attentive, or being conscientious, being deliberate, being exacting, or going to great lengths, or guarding, or being guarded about what you're doing, meticulous, maybe being particular, or being thorough, or being watchful. Are you getting the idea of what it means to be careful as a Christian? Are you a careful Christian? Are you guarding carefully what you do? Are you watching carefully and taking full responsibility as an art restorer, trying to restore the art, as the illustration was given just a few moments ago? Let's notice a contrast to get a better picture. If I understand what it means to be careful, let's notice I can better understand that when I notice what a contrast is. One is careful in contrast to being careless. Do you know any Christians that are careless in their approach to living the Christian life? Or the contrast to being careful would be inattentive or thoughtless or unconcerned or indifferent, or maybe kind of a casual approach to Christianity, lackadaisical or nonchalant, where they're not so meticulous about how they go about doing and living their life and the impact that they have or the impression that they leave, etc. Let's look at a New Testament warning. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Now, we haven't come to Deuteronomy yet. We're coming back. But let's go just for a moment to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15. Here's the same concept. See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Walk circumspectly. How is that translated in other texts or other versions? The New International says, be very careful. That's the idea, being very careful. We don't use the word circumspect. If you were crossing the street, you would look at me strange if I said, well, be very circumspect as you go across now. But it's the idea of being very careful. The American Standard says, look therefore carefully how you walk. The Christian ought to be a careful Christian. I like the Young's literal translation rendering of that. See then how exactly you walk. It's the idea of deliberately planting a foot here and deliberately planting a foot there and another foot over here so that you're walking very exactly. If you've ever been in an attic that is not floored and you're having to walk across the ceiling joist, you know what it means to walk very exactly. You've got to place a foot here and a place a foot there, because if you're careless, you're going to fall through the ceiling. So now we understand something about what it means to be very careful or to be circumspect. That same word is translated in the King James Version to be diligent or perfect or perfectly. Here is the exactness that we've been talking about. And so we have a better understanding of careful. Now let's talk about some careful application. And let's take we'll start in the book of Numbers, and then we're going to come back to Deuteronomy. What by application I simply mean, how is that term applied in books particularly like Deuteronomy? That's where we're going to spend most of our time. But let's start in Numbers. I want to see how the term in the Old Testament, I recognize we're not living under the Old Testament, I realize that's the case, but also understand how God used the term with reference to His people, that He gave them warnings about you worship carefully, you obey carefully. The same principle would apply in light of New Testament exhortation. Let's turn to Numbers 28 and in verse 2. I want you to see how the term careful is used by Moses with reference to their worship being careful. We need to be careful about our worship. Look at verse 2. He said, command the children of Israel and say to them, my offering, my food, my offerings made by fire is a sweet aroma to me. You shall be careful to offer to me at their appointed times. I won't go into the detail of all the offering that involved. I just want you to see that the offering that was offered before God, the worship that was offered before God, was to be done very carefully. Worship ought to be careful. But the Bible also talks in the book of Deuteronomy about obeying the commands of God and being very careful in obeying the commands of God. And let's divide that out and list that in several different categories. Let's turn to Deuteronomy 4. If you don't already have your Bible open, I encourage you to get one. There may be one in the pew close to you. We're going to spend some time tracing some passages here in the book of Deuteronomy because that's where it's used so frequently. I want you to see how the term careful is used with reference to observing the commandments of God. Chapter 4, verse 6. Therefore be careful to observe them, for this is your wisdom and understanding. We'll come back to that toward the end of our study. Turn over to chapter 5 of Deuteronomy, and in verse 1, I want to just get the concept and then we'll move on. Chapter 5 and verse 1. I speak in your hearing today, and beginning at the middle of the verse, that you may learn them and be careful to observe them. Carefulness is with reference to obeying and observing the law of God. Chapter 6, verse 3. Therefore hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it. That is the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which were mentioned in verses 1 and 2. Well, let's go further to or back up to chapter 5 and verse 32. In doing the commandments of God, God urges carefulness in all the ways of God. That we make sure that we not just are careful about this particular command, but all of the commands of God. Notice chapter 5 and verse 32. Therefore you shall be careful to do as the Lord your God has commanded you, that you shall not turn aside to the right or to the left. Verse 33, you shall walk in all his ways. So, carefulness means I'm going to make sure and be very careful. I'm doing all that God said, not just part. And the parts that I enjoy or the parts I may be good at. Verse 25 of chapter 6. Therefore it will be righteousness for us if we are careful to observe all these commandments. Not some, not most, but all. Chapter 8, verse 1, book of Deuteronomy. I command you that you must be careful to observe that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land. And so what I'm seeing is, in doing the commandments of God, careful to observe, careful to do all of His ways. Let's go to the 16th division of Deuteronomy in verse 12. We need to be careful. Our God, Moses, was in his sermons urging them to be careful to remember their past. That is, you shall remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and you shall be careful to observe these statutes, remembering your past and where you came from and what God has done and delivered you from, in order to cause you to remember to be careful to obey the commands of God. Well, chapter 17 of the book of Deuteronomy and verse 19. Carefulness is driven by fear. That is, if we are careful, it'll be because we indeed fear God. Look at chapter 17 and verse 19. It shall be with him, he shall read it all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God and be careful to observe all the words of the law and these statutes. Let's go over to the 28th division of Deuteronomy. And in verse 58, and I know we're looking at a lot of verses, but I'm wanting you to get the flavor of how many times this word careful is emphasized in these four sermons that Moses preached in the book of Deuteronomy. Chapter 28, verse 58. That if you do not carefully observe all the words of this law which are written in this book, that you may fear the glorious and awesome name of the Lord your God. And so what am I learning? I'm learning from that we are to be careful, and that's driven by fear. Well, notice in the 26th division and in verse 16. That is, carefulness means that we're going to obey the commands of God, but we're going to do it with all of our heart because we're seeking to be careful. This day the Lord your God commands you to observe these statutes and judgments. Therefore you shall be careful to observe them with all your heart and all your soul. You ever think maybe that people, anybody made fun of Moses in hearing his sermon and said, you know how many times he mentioned we're careful? Did you hear him mention careful again? Well, he was emphasizing careful all through his sermons, but he's not through. Let's go a little further. Careful means that we're going to take heed to ourselves. We'll not take time to trace over to the book of Joshua, but let's go back to Deuteronomy 4 and in verse 15. Deuteronomy 4 and in verse 15. And that is, we're going to take heed to ourselves if we are careful. We worship, we do the commandments of God. Take careful heed to yourself, for you saw no form. The context is talking about you didn't see God in a form so as to make an image of that so that you become a worshiper of the image. So you take careful heed to yourself, you not be influenced by the idolaters around you when you go into the land. So you make careful heed to yourself. Well, what else did he say about being careful? Let's go to the 12th division and look at verse 32. And there needs to be carefulness in how the word of God is handled. Chapter 12 and verse 32. Whatever I command you, be careful to observe it, that you do not add to it nor take away from it. Not only do you make sure you're obeying the commands of God, but make sure you're not adding anything to the word, and make sure you don't take anything from it. That's carefulness. Carefulness. How you handle the word. There's something else. Let's go to the 19th division. 19th division, and in verse 18. There needs to be carefulness in determining charges that were made. This is speaking of the judges. Notice in verse 18, the judge shall make diligent inquiry. Some New King James, remembering the King James is updated every year, so if you're using the New King James as I am, it may vary from someone else's New King James. But some of the New King James says that they shall be very careful. This one happens to use diligent inquiry. That is, the judges are to make diligent inquiry about charges that have been made. Be careful in their inquiry, is the idea. Well, let's notice something else. Let's go to the 24th chapter of Deuteronomy, and in verse 8. There needs to be carefulness with reference to contamination. This was talking about leprosy. There's an outbreak of leprosy that you diligently observe to do according to the priest and the Levites teach you. Well, some New King James uses the word careful there. And then he goes on to say, just as I commanded you, so you shall carefully do that. So here's the outbreak of leprosy. We don't want the spread of something that's contaminating. We can make some spiritual application of that perhaps a little bit later. Let's go to the 32nd chapter and verse 46. I'm wanting to get these ideas before you, and then we're going to make some application and raise a number of questions here in just a few moments. Look at verse 46. We need to be careful in the teaching of our children. God, through Moses, warned the children of Israel to do that. Set your hearts on all the words which I testify among you today, which you shall command your children, and be careful to observe all the words of this law. You teach your children, and one of the ways you'll teach your children is if you carefully observe all the words of the law. That's how you're going to impact them the greatest. Well, let's go even further. Chapter 2 and in verse 4 of Deuteronomy. Let's go back to the beginning of the book in the first sermon that Moses preached. Chapter 2 and in verse 4, there should be no compromise as part of being careful. That God commanded them, saying, you shall not pass, you are about to pass through the territory of your brethren, the descendants of Esau, who live in Seir, and you shall, and they shall be afraid of you. Therefore, watch yourselves carefully. As you're passing through, make no compromise. This is the point. And so you watch yourselves very carefully. Well, let's go over to the book of Proverbs. Let's leave Deuteronomy for a moment. And let's go over to the book of Proverbs, if you will, and notice in the 12th division, the Bible also tells us in Proverbs 12 and 26, we need to be careful about choosing our friends, and that term is used. Be exacting with reference to that. Verse 26, the righteous shall choose his friends carefully. Or to choose our friends carefully, who we associate with, for the way of the wicked leads them astray. So our friends ought to be chosen very carefully. Let's go to the book of Isaiah, if you will. Notice one more Old Testament passage, and then we're going to move to the New Testament. In Isaiah 55 and in verse 2, this is in that section with the great invitation that God extends to all. And verse 2 says, why do you spend money for that for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen diligent to me. Some New King James say, listen carefully to me. God's extending the invitation to come to salvation. Listen carefully to me, God says. We ought to listen very carefully to the Word of God. Listen meticulously. Make sure we're catching exactly what God said. Well, Titus 3 and in verse 8 says that we ought to be careful to do good works. Titus 3 and in verse 8. Now, that's just the beginning of a list of the kinds of things that could be listed from those passages. We could compound the list. But it gives us an idea, particularly in Deuteronomy, how God used the word careful and how we're and how the people of God were to live their lives. And the principle would apply in general to us because of New Testament admonition. To be careful in how we handle the word. Be careful in how we teach our children, making no compromise. Careful in all aspects of our life. Now understand what it means to be careful. And I see from both Old and New Testament the abundant warning, we need to be careful people. And surely if they had to be careful in the Old Testament, should we not be just as careful in New Testament lives? In serving our God, should we be careless when they should be careful? So let's talk about a third thing. Let's talk about careful examination. That is, we need to look at our own selves and examine ourselves very carefully and raise some questions. And so at this juncture of our study, we just want to make some application of those very principles we just talked about. Let's talk about some things wherein we ought to be careful. Should we not be careful in the things that we watch on television and the movies that we watch? Should we not be careful about that? Or would you say it would be good or acceptable to be careless with reference to that? It really doesn't matter. I'm going to watch television. It doesn't matter the language. Doesn't matter the scene. Doesn't matter the content. Or should I be very careful about what I watch? Now, the abundant warning is, be careful. Should I take care about the kind of language that is used? Or does the language not matter? You make the application. Should I be very careful about what subjects are discussed in the television or the movies or entertainment, whatever the case may be? Should I take care about the sex scenes in the movie? Are there some implications of sex scenes, of premarital, extramarital relationships? And should that something be something I should be careful about, or should I be careless about that? You make the application. Should I care whether or not there's brief nudity? Maybe it wasn't bad, as some would put it, but it's just brief nudity. Okay. Should I be careful about that? We need to examine ourselves with reference to movies and television. What am I watching? What do I tolerate? If I were to ask for a show of hands of people that do we tolerate more now than our parents and grandparents did? I think every one of us would have to raise our hands, wouldn't we? I'm going to be honest with you. There are things that come across my television screen my grandmother would have thrown the box out the door. Makes me wonder what my grandchildren and great-grandchildren will tolerate. Would you agree? We need to be careful. We need to be careful, do we not, about what influences our children? Are you careful in what influences your children? Do you know who they're with as you're rearing and raising your children to adulthood? Do you know the kind of people they run with? Should you not be careful about that? Aren't Christians supposed to be meticulous and careful? Do we need to know what they're doing? Or is it all right for us as parents not to have a clue what our children are doing or who they're with? Do we need to know anything about the music they hear? Would it be good for our parents to kind of have an idea? What's the content of that music? What are the words? What's the point? Would it be advisable to know what they're saying in text messages and emails and what they're saying on Twitter and Facebook and other social media? Or would it be good to be a careless parent that says, you know, I really don't know what they're doing on Facebook. I don't know what they're saying on Twitter. And I don't know what they're getting in their emails. And I don't know who they're communicating with. I don't know a thing about their text. Or would you say it would be a careful parent who knows about those kinds of things? Should we be careful in the language that we use? Should we be careful? Well, obviously, we ought to be careful and not use obscene language, filthy language, but there are some Christians who may let that go. But I'm more concerned, should we be careful about using euphemisms that are essentially the same in a milder form without listing those? We've done those in lessons before. Should we be careful about using euphemisms that are just a milder form of some of the more harsh words? Is that showing being careful when we use our euphemisms? Should we be careful in the things that we tolerate and the things that we endorse? For example, what about preachers that we may endorse or preachers that we commend? Sometimes some Christian will go hear some preacher somewhere in a meeting, or they've known a preacher for some time and they recommend, he's a great preacher. We ought to have him here for a meeting. Do you know anything about him? Is his preaching solid? You're giving your endorsement to one whether you know his preaching is solid? Is there something missing from his preaching? Is there something in his preaching that he doesn't deal with? maybe preaches hard sermons on moral issues, but maybe when it comes to some doctrinal things, he's not hitting it very hard. Or maybe doctrinally he's solid, but on moral issues, maybe he's not ever hitting that. Are you careful about what you endorse? Where you give your stamp of approval? I want to tell you, when somebody asks me for a recommendation on a preacher, I'm very careful. I'm very careful. I'm like Brother Sutton said one time, when I recommend somebody, I'll say, as of yesterday, they were sound. I don't know about today. I don't know. Pretty good advice, isn't it? Should we be careful in our worship? Should we be concerned about being at every service? Or should it be one of those things where if I just make it most of the time, I'm okay? Or should I be very meticulous about trying to be at every service I can because I'm trying to worship God Almighty? And in being careful, does that mean that I should follow the words of the songs and the prayers? Or should my mind just kind of go wherever, as long as I'm here in the worship services? Or should I be meticulous and say, you know what, I want to focus on every word of this song, and I want to focus on every word of the prayer, and I want to follow carefully the message that's being preached, and I want to think carefully about the death of our Lord during the Lord's Supper, because I'm trying to worship very carefully. What about in your study of the Bible? Are you trying to be careful? Do you prepare for Bible class, or do you come to Bible class unprepared because really you're just not being very careful about that? And in your Bible study, do you come to all the classes, and do you study on your own outside of Bible class? Do you read your Bible? Do you really, listen to this carefully, do you really try to learn the text? When we're studying a text, it may be quite difficult. We were in 2 Thessalonians 2. Everyone has to recognize, this is what Barclay said, it's one of the most difficult texts in the New Testament. And do you grapple with a text and really try to learn that text? I want to know what this text is saying as best I can. Or is it one of those things we come to Bible class and just kind of let that pass, and this really doesn't concern me, and so I'm just not interested in what that's saying? Are you a careful student? Should we be careful in how we speak? Well, especially, is that not true when we teach or talk about the Bible? It may not be in a class. You may be a teacher of a Bible class, but you may not be a teacher in the formal sense, but when you talk to somebody about the Bible and you have a Bible discussion at work or at school or with a neighbor or friend or family member, should we not be careful when we teach and talk about Bible things? James 3 and verse 1 said, "Be not many teachers, knowing you shall receive the greater condemnation." The point is, be very careful what you say, because you'll give an account for the things you do say. Should I not be careful in how I try to teach and influence others? And I don't mean to be ugly, but there are some people, I want to tell you, that when I know that they're trying to teach someone the gospel, I cringe because I'm thinking they won't be careful, and there's no telling what they'll say. Are you being careful as you try to teach your friend or your neighbor the gospel? Are you meticulous about how you go about that? I want to make sure I give the right message. And I want to make sure I don't mislead them. Are we trying to be careful we're sending the right message? Aside from Bible teaching, just in our everyday language and in our discussions about even secular matters, are we being careful that we send the right message? Or could we create some of our confusion and relationship problems because we were careless in how we worded things? Do we ever think of the possibility I could be leaving the wrong impression? That I'm just blabbering along here and I'm thinking one impression, but I'm leaving a different impression because I'm very careless about how I'm wording things. Should we not be careful in our wording? Should we be careful in what we support? I'm not talking about out of the church treasury. That's another discussion within itself. But should we be careful what I support? For example, do you know the kind of organization it is that you're supporting? Come Christmas time, and out in front of all the stores, the ringling and jiggling of the bell from the Salvation Army, do you throw money in? Or do you stop and think, you know, that's a religious organization. It's a religious structure. They have doctrine about salvation. They teach in advance. And do you just carelessly give to that? Or are you careful and think, you know what, I want to give and I want to be helpful to those in need, but I think I'll give in another means rather than being careless and not paying attention to what I'm supporting. Are you careful about what you support? Do you know what the organization that you support supports? Do you give to the United Way, knowing that they take some of their funds and support abortion? Many workplaces are putting pressure. Some of you have told me that. The workplaces where you are, they come around and they put pressure on you to give to the United Way. And yet when the United Way is something that supports abortion, are we careful? Are we careful? Now perhaps some have suggested you can support some organizations and earmark your money. That may be the case. But my question is, are we being careful about what we're doing? And do you know how they spend their money in your support? Listen to me carefully. I'm not trying to upset people by the things I'm about to say. But there's been a whole wave of challenges on Facebook of supporting organizations that use embryonic stem research. That is, they take stem cells from aborted babies to do their research, to cure, trying to find a cure for ALS and other things, which is a devastating disease. I've had a friend to die with that. I know what it's like. But are we careful in what we're supporting and what we're encouraging others to support? Are we careful in those things? The Bible gives abundant warnings about carefulness. Now let's close by talking about careful results. We've come to a careful understanding what it means. We see the passages that give abundant warnings and the application of where it's given in the book of Deuteronomy particularly. And then we ask ourselves to give our careful examination. What kind of results come when we're careful? Well, the book of Deuteronomy gives us some insight. So let's go back to Deuteronomy, if you will, starting with chapter 4. This is in that first sermon. By the way, this is at the end of the first sermon, Deuteronomy 4 is. That if there is carefulness and we seek to be careful, then what that shows is, that shows our wisdom and understanding. By the way, for a footnote, James 3 talks about, is any wise among you? Let him show by his works that he has wisdom. And I'm paraphrasing that, of course. If you want to be wise, you don't have to tell people how wise you are, that I have some wisdom. I've been around the block a time or two. I know what's going on. You demonstrate that in the way that you are careful about your life. And that's what Deuteronomy 4 is about. Look at verse 6. Therefore be careful to observe them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the people who will hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is wise and understanding people. You want to show wisdom and understanding? Well, one of the ways you show wisdom and understanding is that you do that by showing you're very careful and meticulous about how you do that. That shows wisdom and that shows understanding. Well, let's go to another passage. Same chapter, chapter 4 and in verse 15. It prevents departure and it prevents drifting. If I'm careful, that's going to keep me from drifting off into apostasy. How so? We talked about this verse a moment ago. Be careful to take heed to yourselves, for you saw no form. Well, the rest of the verse talks about this principle. That you didn't see the form of God so that you could then imitate that and make some kind of image of that and you become a worshiper of the image like the pagans all around you. So you be careful in that. If you're careful, that's going to prevent departure. It's going to prevent drifting. It's going to prevent apostasy. Here's something else. Let's go to the fifth chapter. One more chapter over. Chapter 5. We'll live well and our days will be prolonged. In the context of the book of Deuteronomy, that is, if they were careful, which they were not when they got in the land, but if they were, their days would be prolonged. They'd stay in the land. That's the idea. Notice that in chapter 5, 32. Therefore, you shall be careful to do as the Lord your God has commanded you. You shall not turn to the right side or to the left hand. Verse 32, you shall walk in all the ways of the Lord your God that he has commanded you, that you may live and it may be well with you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which you're going to possess. You're going to live well and prolong your days. Well, one more passage and we're done. Go to the sixth division in verse 3. This is in that section, that is the memorized section of every Jew. They understood and read and quoted this passage. Whether they applied it or not, they could quote this section. Verse 3, therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you and you may multiply greatly. As the Lord your God has promised you a land flowing with milk and honey, you'll go to the promised land if you're careful. Well, there's some application got to be made of that in the sense that if we are careful, that we'll have wisdom and understanding. If we seek to be careful Christians, that'll prevent departure. If we are careful Christians, we'll live well, our days will be prolonged, and if we live well, we will have our promised land as well. Now, starting with the question, are you a careful Christian? Are you careful? Carefulness means that when we see we made a mistake, then we want to correct that somewhere along the line. We may make some adjustment. I wasn't very careful back here. I want to be more careful in the future. I wasn't very meticulous back here. I want to be more meticulous in the future. I was kind of careless back here in what I tolerated, what I allowed. I want to be more careful in the future. That's the idea of being a careful Christian. Are you a careful Christian? May God help us to be the careful Christians that God was trying to tell His people in the book of Deuteronomy to be, which they failed utterly, and they did not stay in the land. May God help us to be the success that they were not. And that's the urging of Hebrews chapters 3 and 4. There may be one more present who's not a Christian, who's not a child of God. Would you come believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? Would you repent of your sins, acknowledge your faith, and be buried in the waters of baptism for the remission of sins? If you're subject in any way, would you come while together we stand and while we sing?